It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas.
Sleeping on my Douglas mattress has truly been a dream, no pun intended. It's a really nice balance of squishy, but also like a little bit on the firmer side. It's worth checking out their website if you're in the market for a new mattress.
Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today.
Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer.
That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand.
My tummy hurts. I need to see a doctor.
We're full. It's going to be a 22-hour wait.
But it's an emergency.
You can go to a private clinic.
In this economy?
Cries in overworked and underpaid.
New Democats!
Establish safe nurse-patient staffing ratios. Pay healthcare workers fairly. Cut private nursing agencies.
Happy.
I trust that needs no explanation.
Wait, but maybe we should offer one, though, so listeners don't think we've lost our minds.
Have we not, though?
We should tell our listeners that what we just gave voice to was an Ontario NDP TikTok from February, one that's got almost 600,000 views, featuring a sad cat in a banana costume and another cat in a nurse's cap, also sad, until the new demo cats descend from the heavens to offer policy solutions to Ontario's healthcare dilemma, leaving Banana Cat and Nurse Cat happy, happy, happy. It's the first of what now stands as 7 videos in the party's Banana Cat Explains series, part of a bold new era of political communication.
But see, I don't think that that and us losing our minds are mutually exclusive.
Fair point. I'm Allison Smith, publisher of Queen's Park Today, and happy, happy, happy.
I'm Jonathan Goldsmith, news editor at Candleland, and I'm kind of gotten maybe too accustomed to having the monopoly on writing surreal dialogues related to Ontario public policy.
And this is Wag the Doug, a monthly podcast about Doug Ford. We're at a bit of a weird lull in Ontario politics right now. The Greenbelt scandal has mostly dried up.
Pending that investigation by the Sensitive and International Investigations Unit of the RCMP's O Division, which is evidently taking a break from policing the Vegas-based aquatic escapades of Cirque du Soleil.
Right, yes. Pending that little old RCMP investigation, which former Housing Minister Steve Clark, who was at the center of the scandal, told the Toronto Star last week that he hasn't been contacted about. And according to friends of Khalid Rashid, the other former minister who got caught giving bad information to the Integrity Commissioner about when he went to Vegas with so-called developer buddies, well, he hasn't been interviewed either. That's weird, right?
Well, if the RCMP is anything like me, maybe they just want to do as much independent reading as they can up front so that they know everything there is to know about a topic before actually beginning to conduct interviews. But I also think it's probably safe to assume that the RCMP is nothing like me.
Wow. Talk about bananas.
There's a winner. Yes, talk about bananas.
Yes, let's talk about bananas, Jono.
Bananas with the faces of cats. Or perhaps cats that are wearing banana costumes.
These are the choices facing Ontario voters.
The Ontario NDP wants you to vote big on Banana Cat. So, with this relative lull in Ontario politics, at a midpoint between elections, we want to do what the kids not too long ago would call a vibe check. What is Doug Ford's party doing with the obscene amount of money that it has? Like, what kinds of messages are the PCs blowing cash to convey? And what is the NDP, the official opposition, doing in, I don't know if we could call it a response, but like, you know, what are these bold new avenues of communication they've found for themselves on TikTok? Of course, there are other parties too, and we will also acknowledge their existence. And we will rate these various videos and other such things on a scale of banana cats, with 1 being the lowest and 5 being the most banana cats. As someone who spends a lot of time on TikTok, I must say I was actually not familiar with the banana cat meme previously. Banana cat, as an image, goes back to 2021 per Know Your Meme. The banana cat videos back maybe about a year. And I'd honestly never seen them before the NDP started doing them. But I do quite enjoy them, and they have been gaining quite a few views. You can see, really see an interesting story on the NDP's TikTok from when they joined, or at least the earliest current video, which dates this past January. And, you know, the videos are doing okay numbers in the low thousands. And then they have a hit with the banana cat video we offered off the top, the one about the new Democats' intervention in public health care. And that hit, you know, it currently stands at 567,000.6, so 568,000 views. And you kind of get a sense that after that, did those sort of bonkers numbers, which even by TikTok standards, pretty good, that whoever is in charge of the social media there was probably given a considerable amount of more free rein to experiment. You know, as you do in TikTok, you throw a bunch of shit at the wall to see what sticks. That stuck. So that was one. And their second biggest banana cat meme not much else to hear, but this one is about Loblaws. And you know, as you would expect on an NDP TikTok account, Doug Ford is the most popular target. And Bonnie Crombie's also there too, although those videos don't do great numbers. What does actually seem to get quite a bit of traction is Galen Weston. It's always nice to have a billionaire to punch up at. And in this case, in this particular video, the banana cat. Oh,
this is a banana cat shopping.
This is the banana cat shopping. This is a banana cat in Loblaws.
Just buys a couple items, and then it comes to $97.
Exactly.
And then he cries and underpays.
And then he cries. In this case, he has the cashier, Banana Cat, wearing a President's Choice hat, Galen Weston.
The Democats are back.
The new Democats are back. And they once again leave everything being happy, happy, happy.
In this case, they promise to establish a consumer watchdog and some other policy things. So they are working like policy ideas loosely into this.
Yeah. Policy ideas loosely. I mean, in some ways, that's the best you can hope for in any political, in any sort of political messaging aimed at a general audience.
Well, we're going to get to the PC stuff later on. And I would say they're not so much.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's the best you could hope for is policy ideas loosely. I enjoy this. I will say, when our producer, Katie, who will be leaving us after 20 episodes now. But when she first shared the link to this, I'm like, I don't need to click that. But of course, when I finally did watch the video, I genuinely did not expect anything as not just aggressively surreal, but confidently surreal. There's no shortage, the past 15 years, no shortage of memes from political parties, from political messaging, no shortage of things that are strange, no shortage of things that are cringy, no shortage of things that are clever and cute. But seldom do they really go so far in on something that, to the overwhelming majority of people, will be impenetrable on first and second and probably third viewing. And reading the comments for these videos, and it really is always a very interesting mix of people just rolling their eyes at the NDP generally and being kind of confused what was going on, as well as people who seem genuinely appreciative that they're making an effort to reach out with videos with communication that is so far removed from anything you would ever expect from a political party, that they are really trying, they are actually making a genuine effort to put aside their own egos and meet their audience where they are, as well as people who are just upset about Sarah Jama having been booted from the party last fall. Although the more popular a video is on here, the less likely those comments are to be at or near the top.
I was generally aware these videos existed. I think they were like talked about on like Queen's Park Twitter a little, but I didn't actually watch them. I think they may have even come up in the legislature at one point.
They're heckled in the House. The second Banana Cat video, which is one with an orange cat, which is a cat in an orange, but orange being more symbolic, involves them clapping back at Goldie Gomari, who for having brought it up and mocked them in the legislature.
Well, see, because Goldie Gomari was the biggest TikTok user in the PC caucus for a long time. She made many, many TikTok videos about Queen's Park stuff and about her advocacy against the Iranian government. The PCs, we should note, we're going to get to this later, but they banned, Doug Ford banned his caucus from using TikTok last fall. So Goldie has not been able to make any more videos, and there are no other PC party TikToks. So it makes sense that she's the one who would know about the Democrats, though. She obviously likes TikTok, and I think she's a little put out. She's not allowed to use it.
That absolutely comes across in this heckle, which the NDP included in their follow-up New Democrat TikTok.
Let's hear it.
So I'll describe it. Or let's stop playing. So there's a cat watching the first one. Then this says, who thought privatizing health care was a good idea for a video? Then the cat gets a text from another New Democrat, says, look what happened during question period.
One in every 10 people at a food bank. That's the legacy of this government. That's the legacy of this premier. The reversal.
So you couldn't quite hear that, but they helpfully subtitled it. So that was Merritt Stiles saying the basic legacy of the government is, it was a food banks, and then a heckle.
Legacy of this premier. The reversal.
Your legacy is making cat videos on TikTok. And then they go on and share a bunch of whole unflattering headlines about Goldie Gomari being suspended by the Law Society and saying back when she was a candidate, saying she doesn't believe climate change is man-made. So they have some fun with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't use TikTok. I had it for a little while and I did not like how it managed to erase time. So yeah, I loosely knew about these, but I think alienating is a good word for it. My initial views, I was just like, what are these sounds and what is this cat? And I didn't like it. But now the more I have watched it, I do like it.
I think it's one strand of it. I mean, I was like these characters, these fruit cats look like they respond from 4chan, although Know Your Meme suggests that's not the case. But they basically look like things that had come from Something Awful or 4chan maybe 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, yes. But once again, I love how confidently surreal it is, how they're just – it just – the videos go all in.
I mean, and I think what they've also done is in a scrappy way – been able to attract attention on the internet, which is like, and break through in some sort of way to get eyes on them. And that, just that action, the scrappily breaking through and achieving eyes is like a really hard thing to do for a provincial political party because people do not give a shit, especially people, using social media apps when there's a lot more fun stuff to look at or makeup marketing, which is what I always saw on TikTok, part of the reason I quit.
I mean, it's very evident from the comments. Like, again, they are reaching people.
I guess the question then becomes, like, does this wear thin, or are they able to continue pushing their art in a way that keeps it fresh and keeps people wanting to keep watching it, do more videos, go viral, or does this just kind of fizzle out?
So on a scale of Banana Cats, I would say the first video ranks about 4 Banana Cats.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, good debate.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay.
Just really felt like 4 Banana Cats. But maybe that second one with the Westin attack at Loblaws, was that 5 Banana Cats?
I was actually going to think, I think I like that one more, but I also feel like I want to go down to 3, because when someone just goes back and reproduces the same pattern, I feel like that's almost necessarily inherently less interesting, then it becomes less art and more commerce.
I do find it interesting, though, that how vastly the hatred of the Westin family and Loblaw behavior has rippled into the general consciousness. Like, it wasn't the same as this a couple years ago. Like, people all over the place know who Galen Westin is and hate him. And that is, in a way, pretty impressive. I'm not giving the NDP credit for that, but they are tapping into, honestly, kind of a surprising thing. Like, does Canada really have a history of, like, singling out our homegrown billionaires as enemies the way that kind of happens in the United States, for example?
That's a good question. I'm all for anything that engenders antipathy towards billionaires.
Well, and I mean, the fact that he puts himself in commercials is probably the reason why. But see, this makes me think about the recent federal elections. I guess they weren't recent, but I think in either the last one or the one before, or maybe both, Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the federal NDP, one of those elections, I guess it was the last one, the 2021 one, kind of coincided with the rise in TikTok.
Yeah.
And Jagmeet and his team were able to put him on TikTok in a way that was appealing, and he was getting lots of views and making great videos, and he, like, had the best TikTok of all the leaders, and that became, like, a conversation point in the campaign. But what also became a conversation point was, like, okay, does this translate to votes? And I think in that election, the answer would probably, most people would say no. So I think that what the Ontario NDP has to, you know, be thinking about, I guess, is, like, okay, are we TikTok artists, or are we a political party that needs to get votes? And, like, how do we meld those things to, like, hopefully have, I guess, in their point of view, the former bolster the latter? And, like, maybe that is impossible. I don't know. And that it's just kind of fun to do this other thing.
The question is, does that do anything? I think it puts something interesting into the world.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas.
Douglas has been a supporter of this podcast for quite some time now, well over a year for sure. And I still don't think I know if any part of this relationship is because of our shared names. Not Jonathan Mattresses, but rather Wag the Doug and Douglas, obviously.
It definitely makes me chuckle every time we do these ads. But I'm also a Douglas fan. The mattress, to be clear.
I'm
an objective reporter when it comes to the other Douglas. It's a super comfortable mattress with great features like its eco-light cooling gel foam top layer.
The Douglas mattress is loved by over 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast.
Right now, Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today.
Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand. Canada Land.
All right, let's talk about the PC party and the government's content, which is the opposite of scrappy and probably seen by a lot more people, let's be honest.
Pugilist? Is this pugilist sort of the opposite of scrappy? Or not the opposite, but like the bulkier version.
But see, I would say this is not pugilist. It's they're trying to be really hopeful and optimistic and nice. So the next general election in Ontario is early June 2026, when imagine a six-week campaign before that. Like, what will the Ford government do in the next 2 years? I honestly believe not much. I think they don't want to do a lot of anything and maybe try to just get reelected on people not thinking they're that bad. The YIMBY people are pretty mad at Ford. I think there's like a rising crescendo in the like conservative media world against Ford in a way that there wasn't really, aside from maybe during the pandemic lockdown stuff. The conservative establishment in Canada didn't like Ford for that, but then they kind of got back with him, and now they're pretty pissed at him again, in particular on housing, but also on the fact that the provincial spending continues to climb every year.
You think they're being cautious, but I also feel like it's only a matter of time before they think they have another really bright idea.
That is possible, too. All right, let's watch this new Doug Ford ad. For context, I will say I first saw this ad just over a week ago. It was playing on TV during the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship. So, and now they have put it on Twitter.
Hi, it's Doug Ford. Just giving you a call back.
Well, it's the people. That's what gets me up every single morning. Really busy, busy. Morning to night.
Really busy, busy.
Thank you. You take care.
They're working hard every single day because they believe in a better future right here in Ontario. And so do I.
I think the future of Ontario is very, very bright. It's the best place anywhere in the world to raise a family.
I always ask my team, what are we doing to make life better and easier for folks out there?
You can change people's lives with one phone call. You really can. If I can help them, that makes my day.
And that's what I'm here for, to listen and to do what we can to try to help the people. You can't always get it right. And let me tell you, when I don't, I hear from the people.
Well, I love the pensive Doug Ford sitting in there looking out the window at the stroking his chin.
This little jacket that just says Premier Doug Ford on the lapel or nameplate.
Anything else I can help you with, don't hesitate to reach out.
A message from the Ontario PC Party.
So I kind of want to give him a phone call now. I don't think he's changed his personal cell. He probably maybe has changed it the past few years, has he?
You know, one phone call can change someone's life.
Exactly. I was, when he said that, I was thinking, oh, maybe I should try to change Doug Ford's life. What could I say to him that would change his life?
Well, he wants to change your life, Jono.
But if I told him that his father actually did love him and was proud of him, would that change his life?
I think it's notable they aired this during women's basketball because it suggests they want to present this kinder, softer Doug Ford to women. Of course, it's not only women that watch women's basketball. So maybe they want to present a kinder, softer Doug Ford and just the
to
general...
people who are generally open to watching women's basketball.
Right, or in the general vicinity of women. It was certainly a choice to air this ad, though, during those games, rather than the other ads the party has been running, which are about how Bonnie Crombie is an untrustworthy snake. We don't have to play those, but it's like something, something carbon tax, something, something house in the Hamptons. So I think it's like that is a campaign ad.
I guess that's easy to forget now. It's like that's an okay election ad. But yeah, forgetting that. Oh, yeah, we're not in an election. It is kind of weird. It's not weird for necessarily for government to have messaging, but it is unusual to have messaging maybe that centers the leader's personality so clearly between that this far between elections.
So there's a line in there where he says something like, we don't always get it right, but then we like fix our mistakes and listen to people. So that's like a tacit acknowledgement of like the Greenbelt scandal, right? And like the other things mm-hmm. they've had to reverse. So again, mm-hmm. it's presenting this like what the PCs and their advisors want is like people to just not be scared of Doug Ford. Mm-hmm. So they elect them again. And I think the argument, again, that the like conservative establishment is making in places like The Hub and like outlets like that is that, okay, you guys want to keep winning votes and staying in power, but if you're not going to do anything, you know, that's like follows classical conservative principles that those commentators would like to see the provincial government do, which probably frankly means privatize healthcare in an abrupt fashion, which I mean the Ford government is doing that to a certain degree, but not the way that some conservatives in Canada would certainly like to see it. If your whole goal of government is just to get reelected, then like what is the point, I think is an yeah. argument that's floating around there. And this, I think, plays into that, right?
It's very capital L liberal. It's about presenting the image of you're in safe hands, but not because necessarily there are threats out to get you. And it's not that we're going to swoop in and protect you from threats. It's just, you know, things are good. There's nothing to be afraid of. The status quo is generally working, but it could be better.
I'm going to play the other video that I'm calling it a conservative video, even though it is a taxpayer-funded province of Ontario ad that has been running also on television. It ran during the Super Bowl. It probably is costing or certainly costing the taxpayers of Ontario millions of dollars. And you've honestly probably seen it already, listeners, if you are a television viewer.
What if we told you there's a place where it's all happening? A place where more people are going to work than ever before. Where the next generation of workers are training for the careers of tomorrow. A place that's building new roads and highways and leading the largest transit expansion in North America. A place that will be home to the first electric vehicle battery plants in the country. What if we told you there's a place powering the future?
Single family homes.
Yeah. Wait, how many bedrooms are in this house? Oh my God. How many millions of dollars are in each of those houses? Because you already, well, it ends up with a neighborhood of houses that would go for at least $1 million each, depending where they are. And it says you already live here. It's kind of the opposite of polyever's messaging.
Definitely.
You can't even afford this shithole.
Yeah, 100%. Good point. That ad is basically similar in vibe to the other Doug Ford one without featuring Doug Ford because mm-hmm. it's a taxpayer government Ontario ad, so it's not allowed to. But it's basically just if you tell everyone that Ontario is good, they'll believe you a little, right? You already live here. Mm-hmm. You live in a place that's going to have battery plants soon. Lucky you.
It does remind me of some of the ads in Kathleen Wynne's tenure, especially toward the end when they used like a newly recorded version of what the Ontario anthem or Place to Stand or whatever. These optimistic ads about the hopefulness of Ontario that weren't really about, I mean, this one actually is arguably more policy than those. Things are doing okay. In fact, you should be proud to be here.
Doesn't work on me. A government ad that is funded by taxpayers is supposed to be only used if you are informing people about a government policy they need to know about. So a good example would be COVID ads that are like, stay 6 feet apart. However, the Liberals, as you noted, pulled back any restrictions on how those could be policed by the Auditor General, and the PCs said they would bring those rules back and have not, and I do not think will. So these...
They're just not like being public service announcements so much as in a specific sense, so much as maybe in a very general sense of exuding vibes.
And just cascading images of things, people being happy in cars, like that's kind of.
If a political message, if political messaging is mostly just about trying to convince people to feel a certain way, that they're pretty close to one of the definitions of propaganda, I would say. I don't even know if I necessarily dislike it. I'm always happy for any reasons to feel optimistic at all. But it also does feel like, oh, you're just, yeah, you're, this is mostly about just trying to lift people's spirits, whether via a succession of images and uplifting sounds. Like, yeah, I guess that's propaganda.
So how many banana cats do you rate the Doug Ford PC party ad?
Cuddly called Doug Ford. I say four banana cats because they're really going in. I'm a likable, approachable, and even pensive guy. That's the part where I thought, wow, that's just the part where he's acknowledging I'm getting things wrong. We reflect on that. Like he's.
I feel like it was really zeroing in on his wedding ring in a way that I haven't seen them do necessarily. And maybe that was just the hand poses, but like family man, you know? And then how do you rate the Government of Ontario, It's Happening Here, Super Bowl ad?
I like the dog.
The dog is good.
But I would say it's one banana cat, if any. It's like, what is the least offensive imagery and music and voice and ideas we can convey in the course of 60 seconds?
Lady charging her AV, people walking into their big, huge house, construction workers drilling a road work or maybe transit at night, lots of sparks flying, lots of cars. Yeah, I'll let go. You're one banana cat. I don't like it.
Okay.
There's also poster style, billboard style versions of that ad as well on the side of TTC streetcars. I've seen them. People have said that maybe this is a slightly different version, but people have seen them in other international airports. So they're advertising Ontario and how much is happening here globally.
Yeah, it's like a tourism ad for...
But the thing is, that's not a tourism ad.
No, it's not actually
tourism.
Tourism
ads are different. Like,
there's probably a specific term for it, but like a tourism ad for businesses, convincing businesses to invest here.
Yeah, yeah.
There probably is a very specific type
economic
name for that type
development.
That's it. Ad, yeah. Economic development opportunities and such.
Oh, my God!
All right, let's jump to the Liberals, Jono. There's more than two parties in Ontario.
What?
And Bonnie Crombie leads one of them. So what is the Ontario Liberal Party presenting Ontarians when it comes to content?
Doesn't seem like it's a whole heck of a lot, at least a heck of a lot that's interesting. I mean, they're definitely still sort of figuring that out.
Bonnie Crombie is wearing a lot of red, I will say that. She and her red blazers are like a one-woman billboard for the provincial grits at this point. She's just wearing red all around town.
Their one recent-ish YouTube video from a couple, like, since she's become leader, I will say it's generic enough that I mostly found myself wondering about the stock music they used and starting to get really fascinated by the stock music used in political advertising.
Yeah, so this is her winning the leadership speech, I think.
Yeah, this video is from February, so it was about a little after she became leader. It's called A Prosperous Future for All of Us. It's basically what you do before you have any content. There's a little bit at the end when she stops talking, and so I was able to soundhound it. The song is called Together We Can by Ere from the Epidemic Sound Audio Library.
So we should clarify that this ad is not running on TV, by the best of my knowledge. It's just like an internet video.
Yeah.
I took a look at the Facebook ad library last night, and the Liberals are running like a handful of ads right now. Most of them are just photos or like JPEGs of like an angry-looking Doug Ford and the words like Doug Ford hasn't changed superimposed over it. So they're paying money to put that in front of Facebook users' eyes. They also had that video that you showed me of Bonnie Crombie speaking in her speech, but they have cut that one off and they're not running that one anymore, which I thought was kind of interesting because they're sticking with just Doug Ford gravy train sad face.
Yeah. I mean, on their Instagram, it's pretty much alternates between blue-colored photo or blue-hued photos or images, meme thin photos of Ford and Ford corruption, trying to get the phrase NIMBY Tories going, gravy train, alternating pretty much one for one with red photos or red images of just them conveying holiday greetings like Happy Vaisakhi, which is the sixth spring harvest festival.
Yeah, this looks like an awful Instagram account. I would never follow this. I mean, yeah, this illuminates a couple things. I mean, to the Liberals, to be fair, they've only had a new leader for 4 months now, which I guess is not very long. So maybe they're brewing big ideas in the back rooms. But I think there's a little bit of a question in Ontario politics right now, which is, are the Liberals under Bonnie Crombie about to surge and somehow sweep voters off their feet and like really put up a big challenge to the PCs? Or are they about to be pretty damn similar to the Del Duca Liberals and not be able to win more than 10 or so seats in the next election? Right now, they're just not really giving, at least in the mode that we're discussing today, when it comes to like media.
What is the right image are they projecting for themselves?
Just like nothing. Like yeah, that is not much.
You distinctly get the sense that they're still figuring it out and mm-hmm. using the channels they do have as placeholders to try to figure out how are we going to sell this.
They have time. But they don't have that much time. So there's two by-elections coming up in just over 2 weeks after this episode airs. One of them is in Milton, which is the type of seat that the Liberals could be able to win, ostensibly. Mm. So it'll be interesting. The PCs held it before, but I mean, you don't want to read too much into by-elections, but I think there was murmurs, and Bonnie Crombie did not rule it out, that she might run in that by-election because she's from Mississauga. Milton and Mississauga are both part of Peel. It's not like, you know, if she was going to try to get into the legislature for the next 2 years, this was sort of a surprise opportunity, this would be the time to do it. And they didn't say she wouldn't for a while, and then it kind of became clear, like, well, if she was going to do it, she would say so. And then they're running somebody else. And I think a part of that decision matrix is that they didn't want her to run in a by-election and lose, which was a very real possibility. The vote count on that Milton one will be very interesting. And I think present a window into, okay, can the Liberals rally a bunch of people in a 905 seat? And if not beat the PCs, like give them a run for their money, or are they just going to get quashed? So we'll see about that. Banana Cat, that video?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just making you Banana Cat. I haven't been doing it,
no.
But I like it this way.
That's also one Banana Cat. It's the least amount of vision or effort, which was, again, not even necessarily a bad thing for political communications, but very bad thing if your goal is to earn Banana Cats.
All right, the Greens.
Yeah, I went through their stuff, Instagram. They have a few reels about housing.
Are you a renter in Ontario? If you are, then it's likely you're experiencing one of many issues facing renters today.
I suspect I may be the first person to have actually watched this to the end, because
you should say it's Aislinn Clancy.
Oh, yes, this is Aislinn Clancy, who's the Green MPP, who is not Mike Schreiner.
Yeah, she was elected not very long ago in Kitchener.
Kitchener Center.
Nailed it.
So I suspect I might be the first person to watch this to the end because...
And we'll create protections for tenants so that landlords have to prove that the unit has to be vacant before...
It just cuts off. It just ends mid-sentence. Instagram Reels, maybe 90 seconds. They probably made this for something else, put it on Instagram. Didn't notice that it just cuts her off mid-sentence at the end. So I didn't really invest much more time watching their content because I didn't get the sense that they did either.
Very valid.
Unless it was deliberate, in which case that earns 4 solid Banana Cats.
Yeah, that would be visionary. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Greens are really known for this type of thing. They're a bit of an interesting case right now because they have two MPPs and for most of Ontario's history had zero. So the support in the polls is fine for them. Like we're talking 5 or 6%. But, you know, when other parties are at, you know, not that much more than that, their success has been attributed to they really do seem to have grassroots level support in some places, which I think is more than other parties can say, where like they really seem to have people that care about them and their vision and like and know Mike Schreiner. So to the extent they've been able to win ridings and almost win other ridings, they're doing better than they ever did. So you can't really fault them for that. But I don't think that memes and internet videos are a huge piece of that puzzle.
They could put a fez on a cat and call it like Cat Schreiner.
Schreiner cat.
Schreiner cat.
Free political advice from Jonathan Goldsby.
Yeah, in some ways, the internet, the new era of internet communication is a lot like the old one, just putting hats on cats. Or cats and fruit. So in that case, perhaps we should be glad that our Ontario politics, everyone's really going for the nice and kind and gentle. And I feel like that's a disgusting Canadian stereotype. But at the same time, maybe that is not the worst thing.
Well, they are running those ads about how Bonnie Crombie is a dumb bitch, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just didn't talk about those. For the people.
That was Wag the Dug, a show about a call that could change a person's life.
I'm Allison Smith, and you can find me on Twitter at Queen's Park Today.
I'm Jonathan Goldsby. You can find me on Blue Sky at Goldsby at something something, and hosting Shortcuts Sometimes, which is the media criticism show that runs on our main feed. I'm up again next week, I believe.
Our producer is Katie Lohr, who we will miss very much.
Bye, Katie.
Her last episode is today. Karen Puglisi is our editor-in-chief, and our theme music is by Nathan Burley.
Submissions are now open for Canada Land's first ever short-form audio contest. We're looking for 3-minute audio pieces about local stories that will be featured on one of our podcasts. There are certain rules about things that you're supposed to include, and a sound of water, for example. And it could be any water. It could be a toilet flush. It could be an ocean. Whether you're a journalist, audio producer, filmmaker, artist, storyteller, whatever, this is a great opportunity to get your work in front of tons of people. We want to hear the stories you have to tell, so hit the link in the show notes to learn more. Visit canadaland.com/audio contest.
Our podcast is listener supported. Go to canadaland.com/join to help us keep this podcast going. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.